are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. So when you go to the book of Revelations, that book that most people, including myself, I tend to run away when I have to read it because, wow, it's so... Yeah, I struggle to sleep when I really study the book of Revelations. But we do try. We do try, right? So when you study the book of Revelations and then you go somewhere there around chapter 14, eh? Yeah. You get these three angels that come through there, and then they give certain warnings to the people of the earth, and they tell us certain things there. So when you look at the Seventh-day Adventist Church, their main message is the three angels message. And someone might be asking myself, Guti, why? Like, why? You know? So that is what we're going to be looking at. And the reason why we are having this conversation about the three angels messages because we need to understand, throughout the whole year, why we are actually doing this. Yes, you understand the Great Commission that we are having, that go thee. Ooh, why am I reading it in King James Version? Like, go thee. Go ye, therefore. Yes, why am I swapping them around, right? And make disciples there. Yes, we do have, for example, that kind of a message. So why is that not the one that is the church is founded on, for example, right? And we have other messages there that we can talk about there. But then why is the emphasis on the three angels message and stuff like that? So it is in the book of Revelations, chapters 14, verses 6. Yes, we'll get there to the end. And yes, the book of Revelation is quite interesting. I must say, the book of Revelation is quite interesting. They till 12. Yeah, I was getting my eyes there, Pela. And there's a joke there saying, if you're Adventist and you don't know the three angels message by heart, you need to be rebaptized. But I see Colapo, guys. Whoa, some of us are not cramers of scriptures. But again, I see Colapo. So we're joined in the studio by my elder in office. Pelengsa Zoma Pizalo. I pray that the Lord will help me. I'll send a message to that number, that American number there, so that I get prayers, you know, so that I don't abuse my elders, because that is not good. We are joined in studio by my elder in office, Elder Derek Vrr. Hi, how are you, Elder? Is that how we greet elders? So we say, greetings, my elder. How are you, Mdala?
Uleta Mans.
No, there's my bottle there. You can take it.
No, they must be in a glass on a tray.
Ne? Okay, all right. Are you well?
No, I'm all right. Yourself?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Sotin.
As you know that on MME, before we start, we pray, ne? Please pray for us so that the Holy Spirit may lead us in this conversation. You say I'm treating you like a normal guest. Please pray for us.
Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we want to thank you for your grace. Thank you for this great privilege to be alive at such a time as this, a time where you have set us apart to be called by your name in a period where you are needed, and I believe even more than before. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the privilege to be on air and talk about matters pertaining to your kingdom, especially that which is the message you have set aside for your church in this last day. Give us your grace and forgive us our sins in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mdala, we're speaking about the three angels message, right? I think when I came into the church, that was the first thing that I was told or taught or I heard people speaking about. Okay. Oh, like, and then skip on, like, why? You know, and in almost all of the teachings or the readings or things that you're going to read about the Seventh-day Adventist Church, you will hear the message of the three angels message. And I'm like, but there are other messages, you know. And even our logo is AWR. I mean, like, it's the three trumpets. And I'm like, okay. I get it, you know. But for someone, let's say, like me, when I first joined the church, I'm like, Skipper, what's this all about? So how do we best describe what the three angels' message is?
Yeah, it's a true one, like you're mentioning, that we sometimes struggle, especially actually, I was telling you earlier on about the AMO group at my church. We have a challenge sometimes. In fact, that's what they were saying, that we are struggling as a people with identity crisis.
Okay.
Where we are not wanting this identity anymore.
Okay.
So you mentioned it from a newcomer's perspective, where yes. people are like, hey, what is this angel? What is this angel message? But now we have that crisis from inside, where we're like, hey, guys, we've been talking about this angel message a lot. But the three angels message in brief basically are, like you said, that message coming out of Revelation chapter 14 from verse 6 down to 12. Mm. And it's a message. From an Adventist perspective, we look at it as a message for our time.
Okay.
One author would say there are many truths that the scripture puts. And like you rightly say, you know, even the Great Commission is one of them, you know, and why this one? Why this one? So the author would say there are many truths, many precious truths in actual fact, that are there in the scripture. But what we need now is our present truth.
Okay.
What's the truth necessary for our time?
Mm.
So you'd find, for example, and it's a concept found in scripture as well, that many ages had different messages. So Noah, when he was preaching, he wasn't telling you about how God is a creator and beautiful creation. He wasn't telling us of the second coming of Christ. He wasn't telling, because I mean, that's a message that already was there in the Garden of Eden. Eve was told, you will get a man-child who will crush the head. But that's what Noah was interested in. Noah's message was simple. The rain is coming.
Mm.
Get in the ark, guys.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's what it means to have a present. So what's the message for today? Yes, there are many truths in the scripture that are important, which are also preached, by the way, even in the Advent movement. But what is the present truth? The present truth is the three angels' message. Right. And so that's why you find, you were speaking earlier on about the Great Commission, that even in the mission of the SDHH, we understand the Great Commission. And our mission as a movement then says is to preach the Gospel Commission, that Matthew 28 message, in the context of the three angels message.
Mm-hmm.
So we still possess that Great Commission, but we're saying it is supposed to be in this context. Because why? Because that's the message. And maybe as I finish off, you will find that when the Advent movement was founded in the West in the 1800s, there was a great move, because remember that the West, as we know it, was mostly founded from a Protestant movement, where people came from the Dark Ages running away and they went West and they founded the Americas and the likes.
Mm.
And so you had these different Protestant churches saying, let's now evangelize the world in this free gospel that we now possess.
Mm.
And they thought, let's divide the world amongst the churches. So instead of us, everybody wanting to go everywhere, why don't we say this Catholics go, I mean, the Lutherans go here, the Dutch Reformed goes here, and so forth, and split the world into zones so that the work becomes much quicker and Christ comes soon. I remember Matthew 24:14, this gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But Adventists said, unfortunately, we can't be part of that. Why?
Yeah.
Because we hold a particular message that we have been given to give to the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And Pathfinders, then you'll say, what, the Advent message to every generation, I mean, to all the world in my generation. So that's the important thing, that the three angels is this particular sound that we give to the trumpet that we've been given by Jehovah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned something about present truth, and yes,
mm-hmm.
I've heard that quite a lot as well. And even when I'm doing Bible perspective, if I speak about anything related to Daniel or I jump to Revelation, I'll hear yes, present truth. I'm like, whoa, brican netso, brican. And you know why that, like, for me, it, like, how did we get to it being present truth? Is because Jesus has been coming.
Okay.
Has been coming, you know. Mm-hmm. And now when you speak about present truth, so this was present truth in the 80s. It was present truth in the 90s. Mm-hmm. It's present truth in the 2000s.
Okay.
And even now. Kanti, when is it, you know, coming to fruition? Because we're going to be doing this in the 30s, if Jesus is not yet back, because Asmas, when is he going to come back? It's still going to be present truth. So why are we calling it present truth instead of saying, guys, this is just a message that we love and we've decided to adopt it as a church?
Now that's obviously now a bigger discussion, but here is how it goes. You'll find that we have what we call church ages.
Okay.
If you read the book of Revelations, chapter 2 and 3, Christ is seen speaking to the different churches, and John is instructed to write these letters, as it were, to the different churches. And now if you look at that, it starts from the church in Ephesus, which is the church that Christ left, the first church.
Mm.
And it goes all the way to the church in Laodicea. Right. And when you look at it, yes, it seems like these are locations in the Asia Minor district.
Mm.
But in actuality, they are also church ages until today. So you can trace them to say which one is
mind blown right there.
So when you look at it, then Christ is writing these messages to the different periods.
Okay.
And so when you look at that study, it then goes and goes until you realize at a particular time, then the Church of Laodicea came into place, which is this particular last church, the seventh church according to Christ.
Okay.
And when you then consider that, there are two phrases that are used in prophetical understanding. Mm. One is the end of time.
Okay.
And the other is the time of the end.
You just swapped it around.
Yeah, it looks like that. So you get what they call the time of the end, mm-hmm. which is not the end of time.
Okay.
It is the period before the end of time.
Okay.
Right. And when you get into that end of time or the time of the end, you then get to need to know certain things to prepare you for the end of time.
Okay.
Now I hear your question is addressing how long the time of the end will be. I don't know if it makes a difference.
Okay.
Even if it's a million years,
it's still
the time of the end. And so you need to be giving that particular sound in that period of time.
Ah.
The duration of the time is immaterial. And now you're making me reveal things that are, I'm not sure if I should be.
Reveal later.
No, that's more my own personal understanding.
Okay. It's okay.
Is that there are two reasons why the time is as it is.
Okay.
Now, let's start with the biblical approach. Mm. You've got Matthew 24, right? When you look at the signs that Christ gives in Matthew 24, most would say majority of them, if not all, are fulfilled, except for Matthew 24:14, which we spoke about earlier as well. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world, and then the end shall come.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's no longer the time of the end. That's now the end of time.
Okay.
That's when Christ must now come.
Mm.
He's saying you need to preach. And we were doing Maranatha Drive last week, and we ended on they've got this feature, Fun Facts of the Day.
Yes.
Just around 4:30. And we ended off on discovering that over 2 billion people have never heard of the gospel of Christ.
Really?
No, that they're not Christian.
They've not heard
about it.
Mm.
So there is a great work to be done.
Mm.
That's number one. Number two is, so maybe let me just add buttress that point. You would then find that it's then important that we understand that there's still a work to be done.
Mm-hmm.
That's why perhaps the end of time has not come.
Okay.
And the time of the end is being extended because asigayenza umsebenzi.
Mm.
However, be that as it may, it will still come. So that's one why 2 Peter chapter 3 will also speak to that fact that God is not just delaying because he likes to delay or like what others are saying. It could be because of you and I.
Mm.
We think we are Christian, but actually we are not in the heart, right?
Hey.
Ute ukrestu, when I come, will I find faith?
Yeah.
And others who have not even heard about him, right? So he's delaying his coming because of wanting us to be saved.
Mm.
That's number one. Number two, which is the much more unpopular comment, is it's also to prove abanye who are here because it's convenient to be here.
Mm.
Right. So we are here not necessarily because we want to, but we've heard about this great coming of Christ and the reason why he's coming and everything that's going to happen. Therefore, let's jump on this bus so that we are saved. But Christ wants us to really be where we want to be.
Mm.
And time usually proves that. You know, in some cultures, when you go lobola, you go there, they say come early because inkomo's puma bayani early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So you must get there just be around the sunrise time.
Yes.
Right. But they attend to you around 9:10.
Yes, and you're going to wait.
You know, and some have then said, no, it's a cultural thing. They're trying to see your patience, which was and all those things. And maybe that, could that not be why Christ is there saying, are you here for me?
Hey.
When we discussed the idea of the mark of the beast, and it's found on the podcast, one mark of the beast and the seal of God.
Mm.
One thing that came out about the seal of God is the seal of God is a settling in the truth that you cannot be moved.
Okay.
Right. So it's an idea that, no man, what saying
Mketiluchis?
No matter what may come, I'm okay.
Mm.
And it doesn't matter if it comes today or tomorrow or I die or I don't die, I starve, I don't starve, anything happens to me, I am in Christ, I'm settled.
Mm.
And so that then becomes the reason why you'll find we've been preaching the three angels message since inception of the Advent movement. In fact, before the Millerite movement was preaching about the second coming of Christ.
Mm.
We're preaching it in 2024. We're going to preach it in 2025 if Christ has not come and he allows us to be there. And if he doesn't come in 3000 and he allows us to be there, guess what we'll be preaching? The present truth of the three angels message.
Mm.
Because that's what he said is the message of our time according to his scriptures.
Mm. Okay. So looking at the three angels' message, right? I think during the week I will, when I speak to the elder, I won't put you on the spot because there is, I think I've heard this, I think on Bible Perspective or so, where I was like, but there is another angel that comes through, but we're not going to touch on, because I'm like, it's the same
angel.
One. Yeah, it's the same, it's number two. The fourth one is number two.
Okay.
He's just saying it. I'm like, okay, but so we're going to go into deeper into during the week on that one. So looking at these three angels, as we learn, you'll correct me, as we learn, we get to understand that Archangel Michael is Jesus, right? And we know that Jesus is also an angel, which is a messenger. Is he part of these three angels, or he's not part of these three angels? You know, Jesus, I get color. Because when you start to learn, you listen to AWR, you listen to all this information, and then Masai, when it now connecting in your head, you're like, wait. You're trying to put it together. So this is me now putting it together. Jesus is there in the book of Revelation. And in some parts there, he manifests, he appears as
Archangel
Michael.
Yeah.
And then Ogonye, he's the lamb. Ogonye, he's this. So one would ask, is he one of these angels?
True. Especially considering if we're saying these are important messages.
Yes.
That is so true. Maybe let me say yes and no. The yes part, the messages don't exist without Christ.
Okay.
And then maybe let me just do a sidebar here and make a comment to your earlier point you made, or just in passing, that you're usually afraid when you read the book of Revelation. Now, the book of Revelation, obviously, because of the symbols and the beast and whatnot. But that's not the point of the book. The book is about Jesus. And when you read chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ that he gave, that God gave it to him, and he gave to his servant John. So it's about Jesus. That's who you must see. If you read the book of Revelation, you end up seeing beasts and all these things. You must be able to see Jesus. It's not the revelation of St. John. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's number one. So the three angels' message would not exist without the presence of this Jesus.
Yeah.
That's number one. But he is not part of the three angels, in terms of actual being the angels.
Yeah.
Now, angel, by definition, is a term that means a messenger.
Messenger.
A messenger, so a messenger.
It's okay.
So what's important then to note is not necessarily the messenger, but the message. That's what we're needing to be bringing when we understand the three angels' message. So then what's important then to note is, when you look at the placing of the three angels' message, it's very much tied to Revelation chapter 7. Remember, we're in 14. In chapter 7, we've got the sealing of the people of God. And John makes mention of a group of people who are titled the 144,000.
Sealed. Yeah.
Now, when you then read Revelation chapter 14 and you start there at the top, it makes mention, it starts by saying the 144,000. Now I would want to make a submission that they are the angels who are bringing forth this message.
Okay.
So it's not celestial beings with wings and light and are flying, your Gabriels and them. No. It's actual human beings here on earth who are part of this group of 144,000. So you read their characteristics in chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. Then when you get to 6 and 7, it starts saying what is the message that they are bringing. So these human beings who are living in this time of the end, who are this special group of people who have set aside themselves for Christ, are the ones who start giving this message, message one, message two, message three, bring it across. So it's not necessarily Jesus who is the one of the deliverers of the message. He empowers them to deliver this message that comes through in these three phases, as it's given or it's said.
There's a comment that came through.
Hey. We'll direct the questions and comments to the elder and the pastor to come tomorrow.
No, don't worry. It's a nice one. Okay. Okay, Zaza, welcome back, my fave Izanda. Yay! Okay, we're going to do it. So, by the way, in 2024, don't call Mrs. I am Sane's very male cousin. Okay, I apologize for that. But this year... I'm behaving. All right. Hi. Make Mdala a permanent feature. I know behind the mic, Vele Uya Roka, but as a guest, he's on fire. So every day when you knock off,
As a hump.
Stay. You will, so when now you will knock off a 10 every day, because you see the listeners, they love your insights.
I hope management is listening and then they can just add some money there.
Three angels message. Three angels message.
You don't want to be part of Babylon. From the listeners. No, thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for that comment.
We love your insights. So, you know, as we wrap up, because I know you have to, you have to rush. So if someone is listening to us, they're like, yes, ngiyakuzwa. Ngiyakuzwa. I'm hearing the both of you, you know, trying to explain this. And I know that there's going to be more where they're also going to explain, what is Babylon? You know, because that's what I want to explore. Like, what is Babylon? You know, and if someone is like, someone would like, but what is the salvation message there?
In the three angels message.
I can't remember, how do you call it? Salvific.
How is it salvific? We are on fire. Yo, the big words, man.
Big words there, you know. How is the three angels message salvific? How is it going to help me in my journey in salvation? Does it even matter? Because for me, Matthew is okay.
True.
Go thee and make, go ye therefore and make disciples. I'm okay with that. But why should I be scared by Babylon? Babylon has fallen, and I know they're going to explain, saying Babylon is this earth and whatnot. Singing up, you know, can I
can't
leave
I just talk
without,
about Jesus and
you know, and not
Jesus
touch on, you know?
That is true. That is so true. And that's a very profound question. Now, there's a reason why Revelation is the last book in the Bible. It's not just by placement, but even by chronology. You will find that it's there because it's also the last, one of the last books that was written. But also you will find that Revelation is the last book of the Bible for people living in the last days of the Earth's history.
Okay.
So it becomes very necessary for us to be acquainted with what's in there. You can look at it from this perspective. Sometimes when you read a book or watch something, it's important to watch the beginning, but it's the ending that kind of like wraps up everything, you know. And that's what Revelation does in the story. Now, looking for the salvation part, which is going back to one of my earlier points to say, that's why you find the Advent movement will say the mission statement for Seventh-day Adventists is to preach the gospel commission.
Yes.
Go ye therefore, in the context of the three angels' message. Why? Because these two are intertwined. You cannot preach the one without the other. What I'm trying to get at is this. When you read the messages of the three angels, number one, it's speaking about fearing God and giving him glory, right? It's worship. Right. The second angel speaks about the falling of Babylon.
Babylon has fallen.
Right.
Yes.
The third angel now speaks about receiving the mark. And when you look at all these messages, you cannot talk about fearing God or loving God or spreading his message without conscientizing yourself in these messages. You get me? What I'm trying to get at is what the meaning of the gospel commission is made evident in the three angels' message.
Okay.
Right. So you want to love Jesus. How do you do that, Mzalwane? If you just have I take the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, what does that mean?
Yep.
Do we ever pause long enough to say, what does that mean for me?
Yes.
Or is just just take him and what? You know, so why that's why you then need the three angels' message to say, no, when we say worship, we're saying give him glory. And the beauty is it's coming back right to the beginning. When you look at the language here that is found in Revelation, it's basically Old Testament language. And I'm reminded of John chapter 21. It ends on a very beautiful passage. The writer of the book says, and many other things Christ did, which are not written here. In fact, if everything he did was to be written, the world itself would not be sufficient to contain that library of books. In other words, the Bible is a summary, just as in the basics unit. If you are writing a speech, these will be the points, you know, like those notes that you need that you take to the front because your presentation is long. And these are saying this is what's important. And that's what the three angels' message is saying. The story of salvation is important. However, if you're going to say to people, choose Christ, this is what you're calling them to. And also in the last days, Christ is not just going to be coming independent because there's going to be a very strong message against the message of Christ. And that message is saying what? Maybe there's options. In fact, why don't you save your skin? God will understand. And that message is the message of Babylon, to say, this message of Christ, Christ alone is not the one you need. In fact, you can choose Christ in the midst of all the other things that are happening in your life. So the salvific part of the three angels' message, they are helping us to solidify ourselves in Christ Jesus, to find ourselves truly being, I would say, putting him in our heart, because that's what the sinner's prayers is, right? Lord, yep. Jesus, come into my heart.
Yes.
This is what it's talking about in the three angels' message. How do you put Jesus in your heart? By doing these three things.
Yeah, ne? My brother Butwam says here, you see, I've repented already.
He's no longer a sister.
No. He's saying that Dan will talk to Subanda in the top brass. The content is present.
Hallelujah.
Truth pela.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, kufuneka imali laphayana.
We are one. No, man, Derek, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
No,
I know that
so
I bulldozed you there. And in fact, as you're saying it, Revelation 22 verses 21 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with God's people.
Amen. Amen.
The DLNG. Amen. So thank you so much for coming through with that explanation. I know the elder or the pastor is going to come through and you know, dissect what each angel actually said and what it meant. But I think the introduction you gave us, it was enough. It's enough.
Amen.
And I is also, you want to...
Amen.
You know? It was enough because most of the time, for me, it's... Yes, we may speak about faith.
Yeah.
We will speak about hope. I mean, at 11 o'clock, I'm speaking about salvation and all of those things. Mm-hmm. And there are these messages that we are tired of.
Yes.
As you're saying, Uti, in your group, we are tired of. But what makes us to be tired of them? Have we now done what the message said we ought to do?
Yes.
Or we are just tired because... we are falling short of fulfilling that particular message. Because as you were saying, there are people that are tired of the Great Commission. Good. Hi.
Yeah.
Are we tired, for example, of the Great Commission because we have went from Cape to Cairo? I'm just going to focus on Africa. We've been to Cape to Cairo. We've been to Nigeria and Kenya.
We are finished with the work, guys.
We are done. Yeah, saying Katele. Saying right, man. So let's move on. Let's look at the parables. Let's focus on the parables. Right. It makes me question most of those things. And I was like, let me be intentional of bringing it back as much as people are tired. But let's look at it maybe from a different perspective or something else.
True.
I don't know. Maybe a different voice will revive a person to say, aye, man, it's actually quite important, this three angels message, because as far as I know, it's actually the Seventh-day Adventist Church that focuses on it. I've not seen other denominations focusing on it. Not saying they are wrong. They also have their foundations that they're doing that. But then us, it's for a matter of us, guys, as BLN and Simin, let's go back and preach it. And I remember there was someone who was like, the whole issue of the mark of the beast is too tiring now. You know, we must no longer speak about it. But this is actually what is in the Bible, you know. So when we speak next week, if we decide to speak about the mark of the beast, please forgive us in advance and also listen to it. Then there's a comment. this one I very like, saying that... you are tired because it reminds you of the work you haven't done. Like when you remind your child of chores.
Eish.
You know. So that is why people are, because we have not done the work. But just because they're tired, it doesn't mean that we must not remind them.
Yeah.
We're going to be reminding you.
Paul would say the same thing. I will not have you negligent of these things. You know them, but I must remind you.
Bona. Remind. Guys, Revelation 14, verses 6 to 12. Let us imprint it. And also the Great Commission there. Must ring. Babylon is coming. Babylon has fallen.
So, Uzaba, you memorize it by end of the week, sir.
The three angels must it.
Amen. Commitment to come Friday.
The one that I would call is Babylon. No, side note.
Mm-hmm.
I have a challenge which I have acknowledged and the Holy Spirit is helping me with it.
Okay.
Of memorizing scriptures. I can memorize what it says, but not exactly where you find
where it is.
So I have that challenge, and I have.
No, we don't want the best numbers. Just in the ocean, and I saw
an angel flying in the mid air, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. Bon.
You got this.
Born. But anyway, thank you so much, Mdala, for coming through. Here is your khaki. You now listeners. You may leave. Yeah. Thank you to each and every. So we're going to be taking a quick song break and we're going to be going into our music takeover. Yes, I'm back. So we are having our music takeover. So do text me on +27 734 703520 so that I can play the songs that you want me to play for you.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. Yeah.